But in Joel chapter 2 and verse 17, this is what I call a Pentecostal chapter. But he says this in verse 17, let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, and give not thy heritage to reproach. And then he goes on, and I want to quote the rest of it for the modest translation, and then we'll put the last crossover. But he goes on to the eternal one, spare thy people, leave not thy heritage to knowledge, to be a byword among nations. Why should the nations sneer? Where is their God? I will use this for a theme tonight. They say it's not proper to use something like this. Where is their God, or where is our God? But we're going to do just the same in full our theme. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for your divine precious word. We pray, Lord, that for the next few moments you challenge our move tonight and anoint thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joel the prophet lived in a day of crisis. He lived in a day of calamity. He lived in a day of drought. He lived in a day when Israel lost everything seemingly spiritually speaking that they had. It was a time unprecedented as far as the conditions of that hour. All right, let me just glean just a few verses from the first two chapters. I'm not going to pull all up, but I'm just going to hit a few high points, and then just as a start for this message tonight, then we'll get right on into our message a little farther. But this is what he said in verse 1 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old man, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the farmer wormeth out hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. He said, it has come up from your mouth. Verse 10, he said, the field is wasted, the land is mourneth, the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, and howl, O ye vine, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is past. Let's go on down and then we'll back up to these verses in just a moment. And he says, in the next verse, the vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes. Then he says, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar, come, my old man sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for he hath withholden from you the meat offering and the drink offering. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders, and he said, in fact, he says, gather all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Then he says, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Ye join gladness from the house of our God. He says, the seed is rotten under the cloth. The gardeners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down. The corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle reflex because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks and the sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry. And I used these next two verses last night. We said, the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burnt the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry in the deep because the rivers of waters are dried up. And so it be. So I look back at these verses in the natural. This was a horrible time. For what one insect left, another insect came along and devoured. As a result of this, I might just add, Joel himself lived during the time of Elisha. The amazing thing about Elisha and about Joel, one was in the north and the other was in the south. And they was preaching the same type of message. Remember Elisha? He followed Elisha and he received a double portion as a result of the mantle. And so he was down in one part of Israel performing some dynamic miracles. Not Elisha, but the Lord through him. Joel the prophet was over in the other part preaching a powerful message and the judgment of God upon Israel. He probably knew the prophet Elijah, maybe when he was just a boy. But let me say this, Joel himself, in speaking of the time that Israel was going through, the Lord allowed this to come upon them because of sin and idolatry. sitting on the front seat one Sunday morning, and in front of me, there was a boy about 18 years old. This young man, I had seen him from the pulpit preaching before, that is during the revival, and I thought, well, something must be wrong with this brother. I couldn't figure it out. Finally, when I got down to where he was, to come to find out there was a young man who had blown his mind on LSD just a few months earlier. Nice looking, handsome man, but he was all that heart matter. He just wasn't all there. Unless the Lord performs a miracle in his life, he'll be that way the rest of his life. But he got with the wrong crowd, the wrong group, took the wrong thing at the wrong time. Then these verses come to my heart tonight, and they stood out even more to me that day when he says, the land is wasted. He says, the harvest of the field is perished. He's spiritually speaking tonight. Unless the Lord moves across America in an old-fashioned way, an old-time way of religion, an old-fashioned Pentecostal way, we've lost a generation. There's a lot of young people tonight that's lost. They've closed their minds, their hooks on the various drugs and different things, and it will just take a miracle of God. And you see it more so in the larger towns than you do in the smaller places. But I praise God for what the Lord's doing. Joel himself begins to plead for a sweeping revival, and that's the need for this hour. He began to speak to the preachers and ministers of that time. Now, I read an article the other day and said, you know what's wrong with the church? And of course, we're all time analyzing or hearing folks analyze what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with the preacher, what's wrong with the people. But rather than put it anywhere, the little article said this. He said, the body of Christ, he was speaking both of ministers and laity, the body of Christ has lost the art of tears. And he says, when once again the church can learn to pray, he was speaking about both preachers and laity, and when once the church begins to shed tears, he said, hours of tears, he said, then you're going to see revival. How true that is tonight. So I pray, oh God, help us tonight. So not only do we need the preachers praying to bring the fortune, the offer tonight, Brother McAllister, but we need some help from the people of God and from the laity. Who's on in tonight? It's time we send shouts and tears. Oh Lord, send another old-fashioned revival. And the Lord will do that very thing. I come here tonight. In verse 12 of the second chapter, he pretty tells us what it's going to take. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, he said, turn ye unto me, even with all your heart, with weeping and with fasting and with mourning, and cleanse your heart and not your garments. And then we come on down, just a verse or two, and he makes mention 75 fasts. Call a solemn assembly. Get up the others, the congregation. He makes mention of the children, even them that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chambers, and the bride out of her closet, and let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. What will happen when once again we begin to weep before God? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, the Bible tells us. Oh, I pray God give us the tears again, that once again we can shake the throne room of the glory world, and we can see our altars filled with souls. That's our desire tonight. In verse 23, he makes mention, he says, concerning this particular time, I say this time, you can also find it this time as well as at that time. But he's, when I say verse 23, pardon me, verse 28 is what I'm going to get to. It shall come to pass afterwards, saith the Lord, but I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And so the Lord has promised an old-fashioned revival. And so I say tonight, God, help us to get a hold of God and believe that it happened in that day. But on the powerful day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And so tonight, I pray that it will never be said by the outside world, by the heathen. And this is our text tonight once again. He says, concerning the Hebrews, lest they sneer, lest they stare, lest they walk us and say, where is your God? I pray that it cannot be said about the Christian people, those who really love God tonight with all their hearts. But it's sad, but it's facts. The pagan world is saying tonight to the church, where is your power? Where are the miracles of the Bible? They're also wearing the healings of the Bible. And many folks are saying, well, church has just become a dull, dry pulpit, and it's been turned into, the experiences have been turned into performances, and it's just so like the old 4-4, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's about it. I've been in in dreams. And don't look at me like that. I'm not that old to let this gray hair from you. I'm not going to want to gray hair. I'm going to look at you folks tonight and get a little gray hair. Come and get me a little wacky. I've been in hell. I want to go forth. I thank God for this hour and what the Lord's doing. And the Lord is moving in this hour. Praise God for what he's doing. When I was in California last month, I was some folks in one of the church that was spirit-filled kind of. It was a tremendous experience to stay in that place because the Catholic Church in Hanford, about half that church, has received the Holy Spirit's baptism, the saints, the nuns, the sisters, and it's just tremendous what God is doing in places. So the Lord is no respecter person. He is pouring out his spirit and his power tonight. I thank the Lord what the Bible says. Let me give you a little Pentecostal off right now. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place and in one accord. And that's the end. The Lord says, they were all amazed and marvelous, saying, are all of these which speak Galileans, and how did we ever man our own tongue? Wherein we were born, for Armenians and Medes and Elamites, as well as in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Medea, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and parts of Libya, by Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, what thing of this? But the spoken said, these will do what? Well, that's why not one thing about it. Man, when it gets to the genuine, you don't have to stop praying. You just change the words. Never all right. You just change the words. And I've said that too many times. So it doesn't hurt me to say that. Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've got a great big old piece of wonder bread. He said, build 12 bodies strong ways, or 12 ways, and the strong ways, yeah, 12 strong ways. And then we've got, he makes mentions of the gifts for the church in this chapter, and how they're to be used. The other gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles, the revelation gifts, wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits, but it didn't stop there. He said some of the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and of this he may mention, this is in verse 29, he may mention of gifts of healings and health and governments and diversities of tongues. And so on one side, we have a great big slice of bread with some sandwich spread on it, and a great big old Texas-sized tomato, all mixed up. Then over in the 14th chapter, he tells how these gifts are to be in operation in the church. So there's another great big slice of bread, and there's some chocolates. And then right in the middle, there's a great big old beefsteak, not bone, but this is beef this time. And that's a joke of that. Anyhow, he says this, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, have not shared. I am become as a sound of brass and tinkling cymbals. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and have all faith, but I can move mountains, have not shared, I have nothing. So what the writer is trying to tell us is this: if we'll take the 12th chapter, and if we'll take the 14th chapter, and if we'll anoint it for the 13th chapter of love, there is no limit what God can do for any church. I'm not disturbed tonight with a man who says God. see Jehovah, what the man was saying was this: God was alive yesterday, he'll be alive tomorrow, but right now he's dead. And as far as he was concerned, Jesus was still in the tomb. But folks, he's alive. And he's still performing miracles. Now, that was not my good. In fact, in chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 23, am I a God of heaven, saith the Lord, and not a God of all? Can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord and I change not. James 1, verse 17, for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, but who does no prayer and does neither shadow of turning, but it cometh down from the Father of life. Oh, thank God for what the Lord is doing this hour. Chapter 14 of John, verse 12, Jesus said, where your works indeed shall you do, because I go to my Father. This didn't mean that I can now perform the miracles of Christ. That's not what he's talking about. But what he was saying was this: I'm going to go away, I'm going to send the third person of the Trinity, and then you know, Christ was here in person. He could only be in one place at a time. But tonight, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's everywhere. Oh, that's why I said, where your works indeed shall you do, because I go to my Father. Not only is he right here tonight, he's a doctor, he's around the world. Where the 2,000 years ago, Christ was only one place to die. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's everywhere tonight. And every given Sunday, there's more miracles takes place around the world than there is in the book of Acts. Thank God for what the Lord has done. I mean this with all my heart.
Praise
the business of the church is to demonstrate God to the world. Chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 8, the Lord declares, or that is the Apostle Paul speaking, is declaring that he's the writer, but anyhow, even for what it might be, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then in Hebrews 1, verse 12, he says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. So what he did yesterday, I'd be a fool to believe that God couldn't do today and couldn't do tomorrow. In fact, I believe, well, when I say our business is to demonstrate God to the world, Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and thy brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was pursued in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching said was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. I'll just be jumping up and down and seeing how loud she can holler. I'll admit that. I'm not speaking about that. That's just some of the rejoicing that takes place sometimes. We're not able to contain her.
verse 13, it's in the afflictions that he prayed, it's in the prayer that he sang songs, it's in the sick among you, let them call from the elders of the church, and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have committed your sins, it shall be forgiven them. I'm reminded tonight of Betty Hill's verse. I've heard it quoted so many times from Mark chapter 9, I believe it is. But anyhow, he makes mention of this department. It's chapter 11, this is verse 24, somewhere like that. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. This is our promise tonight. John chapter, I think it's about 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The only thing that stands between God and our needs being supplied and our desires are being met with these one thing tonight. Of course, I know the word unbelief is a great word, but I might say this is our way to know how to get together with God through Christ, because God promised it, Christ died for it, the Holy Spirit is here to enable it, and come to us tonight as ours. God help us to believe and to receive and to stand upon the book. I have this tonight, it ought to be enough to find an expression you never certainly have. But every time you come to church, you go home. I've got a shock, but I've got a chalk. One, two. Now we're here tonight. We claim to have the answer tonight. Every human needs. Do we really have that answer? This is an attractive age. It's an appealing age. But he said, these signs shall follow them. That's believe. I'm not proof, but because I said 4 minutes, it's time to shut up. But I say this is our greatest hour. This is our greatest hour. This is the greatest hour for the church. It really is. The Lord is pouring His Spirit out for revival tonight. It's up to us to get this revival. The last day of the Bible is here. The last day of the Bible is here. There were several who lifted their hands the other night and didn't have a baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a great time for you to receive that Spirit. If you're here tonight without Christ, this is a great time for you to draw close to Him and accept Him as your personal Savior. What about it tonight? What about it tonight? As I told us last night, I just repeat that statement and then we'll close in prayer. We can either let Christ finish sin in us, we can let sin finish us. That's what happened to that young man that I was thinking of a little while ago. He let sin finish him. You were Brother Alexander? Can he get right with God? I don't know if he's a miracle of God. Because of Christ, but he said, well, he couldn't help him. It was sin that destroyed him. I don't know his condition before it happened. I don't know the condition. All I know, there was a young man with a bold mind. He didn't hardly know his left hand from his right. Now look, and I cried. Now look, and the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. Marcus, this is just one of the balance. There's a miracle that's for the wrong group at the wrong time. Raised in church, but in heaven, the devil's out, he's setting traps and snares, he's doing everything he can. Folks, it's time tonight without a doubt. Once again, Lord, give us tears. Give us tears. Now I quote that word one more time. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Are we doing that tonight? Well, we started to testify to something right now. We love you, we thank you, and thank you for your divine and precious word. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. My God, right now in Jesus' name, challenge us some way, Lord, to realize the condition of this hour. As there was a drought, and as there was plagues, and as there was insects, and as there was a loss of crops and of food during the time that Joel was speaking about. Spiritually tonight, oh God, we have reached that hour again. I pray, oh Lord, one more time, that you would send that revival that you were speaking about in Joel chapter 2, that you would pour your Spirit out upon all flesh. Show signs in the heavens above, wonders in the earth beneath, blood, fire, fellow smoke. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your head bowed tonight, as your praise dies, I wonder if there's a one here. Alexander, I'm going to confess tonight not to you, but to God. I lift my hands. I don't have it tonight. But I'm not as close to God tonight as I have been in time gone by. God, lift my hand tonight. Brother Alexander, I'd like to be back at that place. I'd even like to be closer to him. I'd like to be closer to him as a matter. I'm not as close as I have been in time gone by. I lift my hands. I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to be honest with God tonight. Would you do it? Would you do it as our musicians are coming right now? As a Christian to pray. I'm just going to take a half minute longer. Brother Alexander, in all sincerity tonight, I don't have it. I'm not as close to God as I have any time gone by.